It's time for a legendary introduction.
Welcome to Unpacking the Box.
I really think nobody does it better.
Join the conversation as we cover everything from life and relationships.
All a woman wants is a choice.
Inspiring interviews.
That just hit me.
Wow.
And everything in between.
Just keeping it real.
We keeping it all the way real.
Whoa.
Now let's start unpacking.
This is Linnea, your host.
I'm back.
Today, I'm here with Linda Boston, who is an incredibly talented force in the performing arts, so much so that her passion for acting has earned her a place in the National Women's History Museum. That is so amazing. From commercials to theater, TV, and film, Linda's captivating performances have left an enduring impact. Alongside her artistic achievements, Linda is devoted to mentoring and community service, collaborating with organizations like the Gottlieb Institute and the Kennedy Center's VSA program. Welcome. You are busy, okay? I love it.
Thank you so very much. And I really appreciate this.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk to you. You have done some really amazing things. You are really making a big impact. And I'm just honored that you are on the show. I love it. Congratulations to you on being inducted into the National Women's History Museum. I love that. And you're under Oh, go ahead.
That's an honor and a blessing. That's still hanging around in my heart. It's an honor and a blessing. Yeah.
Yes. And so you're in the category of Chronicles of American Women. You're history makers. So how does it feel to be recognized for your contributions to women's history?
I have to look at things like, you hear these buzzwords going around about legacy and authenticity and things like that are floating around. And those words have value. If you look at buzzwords as an attempt to live your life through its purpose. So when I look at that, I feel a little bit of legacy, you know, but I'm still humble because there's still more to the story, you know. I'm still here. I'm still doing stuff. I have a grandson who's 6 years old, and he looks at me just as jammy. But when he looks at me as he gets older, hopefully he will look at himself through me and see what he can do with himself and his own life and how he can understand himself, you know. So, it means more to me than just me being in there. And if it weren't for Beverly Gandara, the wonderful woman who wrote Women, Work, and Triumph, who entered my story into the National Women's History. I don't know what about her.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So let's get into some of your amazing work, because you've done a little bit of everything. I love it.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, yes, you've done so, you've done so much. I love it. So your narration of the book, The Uncrowned Queen Reclaims Her Throne, I love that. Mm-hmm. It has captivated audiences like all over. Can you share with us the inspiration behind that powerful, powerful story?
Well, Reverend Dr. Amandra McClendon wrote the book. She published the book, the hard copy, and I guess she decided that she wanted to do an audiobook. I auditioned for audiobook via an audio or a studio called Lantern Audio in Decatur. I sent in an audition, and she chose me. I was overjoyed because I was just breaking into book narration. And then as I read the story, it brought tears to my eyes, literally, because if you've heard the story, her story is phenomenal. She's been through everything that you could ever imagine, from violence to abuse to all kinds of things, and she made it through like a phoenix out of the ashes, which is proof that we can do it. Yes. We can do it. It doesn't matter what you've been through. You have to push through it and get want to heal. I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but we emailed back and forth, you know, pronunciations and things like that. And I gave it my style of narration is, even if it's nonfiction, it's more of a storytelling delivery, if you can imagine. And so my approach to telling her story was to tell it as if I were telling my daughter. Let me tell you, like, you know, how you sit down and you say, girl, let me tell you what happened.
Right.
And this happened and that happened. And that was my approach. I'm hoping, because you're saying that people are picking it up, I'm hoping that that is the kinship that they feel to the story. Like they're sitting right there with her. And we have just now gotten in contact with each other via email directly without the middleman of Lantern. And hopefully we can talk some more about some other things. Yeah.
Yes. That's amazing. And that's definitely riveting, you know, that story. So, yeah.
One of the things that I want to make sure I mention before I get off this subject is that, you know, the book is a must listen for all Black women, right? Because it's about, you know, us being silenced for so long, from the beginning to now.
Right.
And people silencing us. But it's not only for Black women, it's for people who want to or have to work with Black women. Remember growing up, you know, somebody got pregnant in the family, hush, right? Don't tell it, don't talk about it. Somebody had a baby, hush, don't talk about it. Somebody went to jail, or Uncle whoever was looking at little Billy too long. You know what I'm saying? If we don't address these things and face them straight on, we can't heal. We can't heal what's inside. So that's the one thing that I think is so powerful and deep about her journey.
I love that, because talking about stuff, you know, and listening to things like that, it could create a domino effect, you know, in another woman.
Motivated. Most definitely. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. So something else that's so amazing that you did, you've spent 6 years traveling across the country, partaking in Menopause the Musical. Can you share some highlights and some anecdotes from your time on the road? I'm so interested.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, if you haven't seen the show, folks need to see the show. I don't tour with it now, but it's a show that will never die, because menopause ain't never going nowhere.
Right, okay? It's not.
You know, but when you see that show, you realize why they say it's a party every night. Most venues serve alcoholic beverages, so you can take your wine and your liquor into the theater and drink it, or drink it out in the lobby and then go in and watch the show. So you're a little relaxed when you're watching the show.
Right.
If you don't drink, the folks around you will relax you, because they're relaxed, right?
Right.
But, It's set in a department store with four ladies shopping for lingerie, and they get their hands on the same bra, and they kind of tussle between each other with that bra, and it creates that bond that helps women find those four different kinds of women. I played professional woman. She used to be called Power Woman when the show first was created, but they've changed that name to Professional Woman. And then there's a Iowa housewife, and you can imagine what she might look like. You've got Soap Star, and you can imagine what she's like. And then you've got Earth Mother, you can imagine what she's like. And they would do parody songs from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So songs like Chain, Chain, Chain by Aretha Franklin turns into Change, Change, Change of Life. And the lyrics are hilarious when they talk about, you know, what's happening with women. But what's great about the show, we go out into the lobby and we take pictures with the audience members and, you know, sell merch, and someone would sell merch while we're taking pictures and talking to different people and how they ended up being there. The men that were there often were there by resistance, because their wives made them take them for Mother's Day. Something like that. But the men that were there saying, oh man, I wish men need to see this show. Men need to see it, because then they'll understand what women are talking about, why they turn the air conditioning up and then turn it way down after they turned it up.
Right.
You know, it makes sense to them. It'll make sense to them. And then there would be other women that would say, you know, they had laughed like that. And some of it, you know, would bring tears to your eyes because there were women there that they may have been thrust into menopause because they had cancer and they were undergoing chemo treatments all kinds of treatments. And young women who didn't anticipate feeling any of these feelings at that age. And they would say they haven't laughed. And you have to cry with them. You laugh with them, you cry with them, all of that. There are women there that had been there 20 times in their lifetime, had seen the show 20 times because friends bring friends and friends bring other friends. And they come back and see it again and again. Mm-hmm. And audience members that have been there multiple times, they just sit and watch their friends react to the show. You know, that's mm-hmm. their new joy. You know,
right?
So, yeah, it's a wonderful show.
So it's just like a roller coaster of emotions, this show.
Oh, yeah, because they would talk about hot flashes, they would talk about night sweats, they would talk about, you know, being angry at one moment and not being angry the next. And it's an interaction between those four women and those experiences, but it's worth seeing, and it's worth seeing more than once because you often miss something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You'll miss something the first time, and the second time you'll pick it up.
I love that too. Because it also is something that brings women together and also just lets us know that, yeah, we may look different and come from different backgrounds, but as women, have something in common. Yes.
And I've been all over the country doing it. I was in Anchorage, Alaska. Doing
wow.
it. I had a chance to, it's been translated in Malaysia, Italy, and, you know, menopause is the same wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, because I always with women, cause I do a lot of working with women and women empowerment and little girls. And I always tell them, I try to drive it home, like we're all the same. Like we literally are so unique in a sense that we go through some of the most unique things in life, you know, that mm-hmm. women can just, you know, we give birth. We have all these amazing things that we can do, you know.
That's right.
So that's why we gotta stick together because we're just alike. We're the same.
Yes.
Yes. So you're another performance I want to talk about. Your performance as Mother Shaw in the Alabama Shakespeare Festival production of Crowns was outstanding. Mm-hmm. How did you prepare for such a powerful role and what did it mean to you?
You know, Regina Taylor, brilliant at writing that story. And she also had a coffee table book called Crowns. Mm-hmm. And that story, for preparing, the preparation for it, for me personally, had me really analyze and look at the women in my family, the women that had gone on, looking at old photos of family members, and the women always had hats on Sunday, you know, and how certain hats brought out something different. When you put your hat on, you feel different. I don't care what you say, you put a hat on. Attitudes gonna change,
right?
But it's gonna change. I got a couple of hats in here, all kinds of little hats. And I already have the coffee table book, if I remember correctly. I had the coffee table book, and I read each entry in that book, and each hat, and looked at each hat on each woman's head and what it meant. And I think what the preparation was for me was to see how the crown of a woman, mm-hmm. the hat of a woman, can have an uncanny effect on her personality, on her character. So I analyzed the way I wore hats and why I would put on a hat. You know, Easter Sunday brings hats galore.
Yes.
Right? Like, you ain't right. Okay?
Right.
You know, almost when you go to church, it's like, she didn't wear her hat. She bought, why didn't she wear that? Or if somebody has on the exact same hat you have on, oh my God.
Oh, goodness.
You know, so, you know, all of that is part of that preparation
mm-hmm.
for me. If I'm doing something in relationship to real people, I kind of watch what other people do and how they behave,
mm-hmm.
how they move and how they sit. And as you know, the play is, you know, a celebratory musical where hats is like a springboard for the exploration of Black history and identity and all of that. Our particular production was co-produced by Plowshares Theater in Detroit. And that collaboration, what it meant to where, you know, when we sit down and break down our characters before we bring the show up, we sit down and talk about who we are. Well, the Shaw was a very staunch, straight, laced woman, you know, with a powerful voice and opinion for the young girl in the play. So, and it's interesting how I've come full circle because now I've narrated a book about the uncrowned queen.
Right.
Isn't that interesting? That's interesting. I just thought about that when you said that, you know, that's real interesting how that comes full circle.
It is. You know? It is. Yes. I love that. I didn't even think about that until you just pointed that out, but you're right.
Yeah.
Wow. So it is truly remarkable how you've been able to achieve so much without having an industry mentor. So how did you navigate your career and overcome challenges on your own?
Well, you know, I want to correct that because I have misled people to think that I had no mentor. But as I think back, many people were unknowingly my mentor. I remember radio when I first got out of college. I graduated from Eastern Michigan University and went to St. Joseph, Michigan to work at WIRX, a country radio station, WSJM Talk and WIRX Country. I told the general manager, he asked me, well, what do you want to do with your life? I want to be an announcer. I want to be a, you know, an announcer and a voiceover announcer. He said, well, you're not acting and you're not an actress. And that's all he needed to say to me because, you know, I got to prove him wrong.
Right.
And I realized that even his negative comment, his naysaying, mentored me and pushed me to go further and do exactly the opposite of what he said. And so when I left that radio station and I moved to Detroit to work at WJR, WHYT, and I was talking to J.P. McCarthy, who was the top AM jock in Detroit and Michigan, really, and his producer, Hal Youngblood. Hal Youngblood told me, well, that man didn't know what he was talking about. All you got to do is take some class. And he turned me on to the various classes that I could take through the Detroit Repertory, Plowshares Theater, through whomever I needed to take classes to get that acting under my belt, which led to theater, which led to film, which led to voiceover. And as I was working at this radio station, WJR, I'm writing commercials for the announcers. And one day they said, listen, the client wants a female voice for this, and we don't have anybody. Come on, Linda, come on down here. Now, I've taken two classes, right? And the next thing I knew, I could feel what Hal Youngblood was saying and what that general manager that was saying I couldn't do it. Oh, yeah, there is an element of acting in here. So then I began to went deeper into the craft of voiceover work, and the rest is history. But, you know, you have to kind of weave these things together that are happening in your life and accept that all of everybody is a mentor to me. Bev Gandara is a mentor. Dr. McClendon, the author of The Uncrowned Queen, is a mentor. She shared her life. That mentors. If we listen, you know, people can definitely help us navigate our own lives when they share their own lives.
Yeah, right? Definitely. Yeah. Everyone serves a purpose, you know, along the way. Yes, I love it. So I know that you do a lot of giving back and mentoring, and which is truly commendable. I love people that do that. I do that myself. And I think it's so amazing to just give back to people. I think that's important in whatever we do in life. So what drives you to be so involved in uplifting others and making a difference in their lives?
I think it's a calling from the universe. I have a CD out called Permission, The Power of Being. And when I wrote the songs for that album, co-wrote and collaborated with the triple platinum jazz artist, you know, multiple weeks on the top 10 of Billboard, Randy Scott, smooth jazz artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote those that talk about balance and harmony and peace and things that I wanted for me.
Mm-hmm.
And The Truth, The Light talks about how you're going to change the world around you. Change starts with you, right? So mm-hmm. anything that you want different around you, it has to start with you.
Yeah.
We have to stop reaching outside of ourselves, which is an external approach to living, and become more intuitive in the process and think about how we can help and affect the lives of other people. And we have to do it with joy. And then all of that is cyclical. It comes back to you. Because when I give, somebody gives something to me. It's not mm-hmm. always money. Sometimes it's advice. Sometimes it's love. Sometimes it's assistance. Sometimes it's ideas, you know, all kinds of things. But it's constant. So I know that the power of giving is how I heal within and become a better me within. And me giving to you helps you become a better you.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally that simple. And to give with gratitude and with joy and happiness and love and all that kind of good stuff, it really is that wonderful. Some people say, oh, that's Pollyanna, you know, it sounds like a bunch of story. Well, okay, but it does work. It makes my world feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm worried about.
Right.
You know, it makes me feel good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said you made the point of when you know, when you help people, when you're good to people, you know, you get that back. And that is so true. But also, I love that you pointed out that it's not always money, because I feel like people equate helping always to money. It's not always monetary, because sometimes we need other things. You know, money is great, of course. Yeah, it's great. But sometimes, you know, that help comes in different forms, you know, that is far greater, in my opinion.
Yes. I mean, money is an effect. That's something that we have in this realm to function between one another. But at the rate they're talking pretty soon, we won't even have money.
Right.
So then what you going to do?
Exactly. Yep.
You better start exchanging something else so that whole energy can come back to you. And you can, and your needs and your desires can be fulfilled, the motivation that you have within you. Someone told me that I should find a way to monetize that mentoring. I said, nah, the Most High is telling me don't put money on it.
Right.
I used to charge for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, something told me stop that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as somebody asking me a question and I simply give them the answer. That's what mentoring is.
Yeah. I agree. It's not always about money. You know, because some people don't have it. And so what are we going to deny them?
So then what you, exactly. Then what you're going to do?
You know? Right. I just, you know, I'm like, I'm always going to help somebody. If someone needs help, because I've been helped, I've been blessed, I've been mm-hmm. helped. So I have exactly. to help other people. You're doing all these amazing things and you're helping so many people. How are you practicing self-care? How are you pouring into yourself? God,
I play pickleball, girl. I love me some pickleball. But
I know that's right.
What I did in February, I stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I stopped drinking, I took off 30 pounds.
Okay.
It sounds unbelievable. The doctor said it sounded unbelievable. But I was drinking from that pandemic madness.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Where folks started picking up that bottle and drinking. But I realized how many empty calories I was taking in, because I would literally drink two good honking glasses of wine every night. You know, all that dark red, dry. The drier was, the better, you know, that kind of, and let it go and started on purpose changing some things. I had some health challenges. And when I quit drinking, all of those health challenges started taking in about faith. And I feel healthier than I've felt in a long time. I look mm-hmm. better than I have in decades.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to somebody not too long ago that said the pictures in that picture, I don't know who that girl is. That ain't the woman I'm looking at in the mirror. That's an old lady.
My goodness. Well, congrats to you for everything you accomplished and, you know, for doing the things that you need to do for your well-being. So congrats to you on that.
And add to that meditation, prayer, focus, things like that. have definitely been essential in that information.
And yeah, so, God, I love that. That's awesome. Because you are right. I mean, the pandemic, that was stressful for everybody. I think that was a whole lot of stress.
Yeah.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. So I understand. We all had our things that we were trying to cope through that. So I get it.
The best way we could.
You know,
some of
exactly.
us were eating way too much. We were eating too much food. We were hoarding it, buying it from the grocery store, storing it in the basement. Oh, God.
Right. It's like flashbacks. I'm like, okay, yeah. We maybe never go through that again. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Linda, I enjoyed talking to you. I learned so much.
Yes, I've enjoyed talking to you too, and hopefully we can do some stuff together, mentor some together.
Let's do it. I'm always down for a collaboration, for helping. I love it, and for sure, I'm gonna definitely keep in touch with you. But before
Please.
You leave, yeah, I definitely am, and make sure that let the people know where like they can, you know, keep up with you, your social media handles, websites, all that good stuff.
Oh yeah, the best way to contact me is via my website, which is LindaBoston.com, just my name, Linda Boston, no spaces, no dots or anything between that, .com. It'll take you to my website. I have an Instagram handle, and let me try to remember what that is. I want to say it's Linda.Boston on Instagram.
Okay.
Unfortunately, my Facebook page has been hacked horribly, so don't believe nothing that you hear me say on Facebook, because it's not me.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. Be careful. Scammers are out there. And then I have, you know, I have an IMDb page to see what things that I'm doing in the industry. I have a SoundCloud page, and it's basically Linda Boston or Linda B. Boston. Got a YouTube channel, and you can simply search for Linda Boston. Look for Permission, The Power of Being by Linda Boston. It'll probably take you to my page. But if people contact me through the website, that's probably the best way to contact me. You can contact me on a contact sheet. It'll tell you about my nonprofit, Peer Incorporated, which takes the arts where it's normally not received. And then you can communicate with me. It'll come straight to my email, and I'll reach out.
Okay. Awesome. And as always, y'all, I'm going to include all her information in the show notes so that you can connect. Linda is really making waves in the industry. She's doing some amazing things, empowering, inspiring. I'm inspired. I admire all the work that you have done and that you continue to do. And I thank you so much for taking time out to come talk to me.
I thank you so much for finding me.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm glad I did. Yes. Yes. All right, y'all. We out.
Not only is Linnea an amazing podcaster, she is also an independent entrepreneur. Check out her many creative endeavors, such as her women's magazine, Unpacking Her Magazine, which highlights women in business and in all creative areas. In addition, she has an online store, Unpacking Hoodies and Tees, that entails words that will be sure to uplift you. She is a self-published author of 2 books, and Counting That can be found on Amazon. You can visit and learn more about Linnea's projects by clicking on the link in the show's notes, or visit Linnea's Instagram page at unpacking_the_box_podcast and click on the link in the bio.